And welcome into the Monday edition of the Doug Russell Podcast. I wish I had something to celebrate today. We don't have anything of the sort because of what happened yesterday at Lambeau Field.
Bunch receivers to the left, one to the right. Here's the snap on third and seven. Brady has all kinds of time. Throws toward the end zone. It is a caught ball. Touchdown, Tampa Bay, Mike Evans. What a way to start the football game in Green Bay, Wisconsin. The Bucs go right down the field. Started with a Jaden Mickens 29-yard kickoff return, and then two huge catches by Mike Evans. First down, 10 Bucs moving right hand off. A little stutter step by Fournette. Fights through a tackle. Gets a block on the right side. And another block. He's inside the 10 to the 5. 3, 2, 1. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Touchdown, Buccaneers. Fournette refused to go down. Fournette, the running back. 8 seconds, 7 seconds. Brady to throw. Throws a deep pass downfield. Got Scotty Miller in the open. Makes the catch. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Scotty Scooter Miller. And Brady puts it right on the spot. Bucks score with no time left or very little in the first half. Tampa Bay Buccaneers move right to left. Lead 21-14. Black and back, Brady. Throws toward the other. Caught ball. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. It is Cameron Brate. One play for Brady to do his thing. And Brate spikes the ball. And the Buccaneers lead 27-10. Victory formation. Three consecutive post-game wins on the road for Tom Brady. The Bucs win. Bucs win. Tampa Bay is heading to the Super Bowl.
The great Gene Deckerhoff on the call on the Buccaneers radio network. Things did not go well for Green Bay from the early going. You knew that it was going to not be a pushover game on the game's first series when Tom Brady finds Mike Evans from 15 yards out, capping a 9-play, 66-yard drive that put the Buccaneers up 7-0. But then the Packers come back in the second quarter. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, he catches a 50-yard bomb from Aaron Rodgers. The game all of a sudden is tied. But the Packers' defense never really rose to the challenge. They got just decimated again in the second quarter. We've got a lot to talk about. I think everybody's just kind of commiserating today, and we'll get you into the locker room. Matt LaFleur had some very pointed things to say. Aaron Rodgers, in the over 15 years that I've covered Aaron Rodgers as a member of the Green Bay Packers, I have never seen him as despondent, as down as he was after yesterday's game, because this was the one that the Packers were supposed to win, right? This was the NFC Championship game that was finally on home turf, because every other NFC Championship game that the Packers have played in Aaron Rodgers' starting career in the NFL has been somewhere else, whether it was 10 years ago in 2011 for the 2010 season. You know, that was in Chicago, and the Packers prevailed, and Aaron Rodgers was 1-0 as a starter in the NFC Championship game, and it happened against the Packers' chief rival on their field. And then ever since, things have kind of gone south. You had the 2014 debacle in Seattle, how the Packers stopped playing with 5 minutes left to go, when Morgan Burnett picks off Russell Wilson at midfield and then lays down in the middle of the field, and the Packers really just stopped playing football and trying to run out the clock. Never mind that the Seahawks had all of their timeouts left and Mike McCarthy's play calling was run the ball in the middle of the field, get tackled, and hope for the best. Well, what happened was the Seahawks used all their timeouts, got the ball back, and scored two touchdowns in very rapid succession. And then you knew when Seattle got the ball in overtime that the game was over. And it was in very short order. And just like that, the Packers had, and you know, don't forget about Brandon Bostic as well. I know that over the course of the last, what are we talking about now, 7 years, he's taken on so much heat for that mistake, but it was a mistake of execution. I don't know what the revisionist history is going to be on Kevin King, which we'll get to in a second, but Brandon Bostic took so much heat, he doesn't play football anymore and hasn't played football, you know, after he was cut by Ted Thompson. Shortly after that game, he tried to latch on with a couple of other teams, and it just never worked out for him. And he's come back to Green Bay a couple of times, to his own credit. But, you know, that's going to be a play that haunts Brandon Bostic forever. And that was in 2014. 2016, the Packers were decimated in their defensive backfield. And I think they just ran out of gas. That was the we're going to run the table season. Or maybe we can run the table, more of an aside, but became a mantra because the Packers were struggling early in the season. And then they caught fire. And you kind of had the feeling that the way that Aaron Rodgers was playing, it was reminiscent of 2011 when he was so spectacular the entire season. and it just didn't pan out when the Packers got to Atlanta. The whole team kind of collectively ran out of gas. But they weren't necessarily supposed to be there. Again, in the middle of the season, this was a team that was struggling just to make it to the playoffs. You didn't necessarily think that they had an NFC Championship game run in them, and they did. So you're kind of playing with house money. And they got blown out in that game, so the taste wasn't that bitter after that NFC Championship game loss. Now, conversely, 2 years prior to that, it was very bitter, not necessarily because the Packers were supposed to win that game in Seattle when the game began, but they had outplayed the Seahawks for 55 minutes. And then they just completely disintegrated at the end. So 2014 hurts, 2016 not as much. And then you go to what happened a year ago in San Francisco. And leading up to that game against the 49ers, we had already seen the Packers get their doors blown off by San Francisco earlier that season. So it wasn't necessarily a shock when it happened again. It just happened in a different way. You know, Raheem Mostert in one game, George Kittle in another. You know, pick your poison, I suppose. But they got blown out, and it didn't hurt. It was in somebody else's stadium. It was the first year of Rodgers and LaFleur. The Packers wind up in the NFC Championship game, and they get blown out by, obviously, a better team. So that one didn't necessarily hurt that much. This one hurts. The Packers were supposed to beat the Buccaneers, even though the Buccaneers blew out the Packers earlier this season. That was in October. The Packers' defense had been playing much better football. Aaron Rodgers turned himself into the league's most valuable player for the third time in his illustrious career. He and Matt LaFleur were on the same page. And then it all fell apart. And it fell apart early, too. You didn't have a good feeling about Mike Pettine's defense when Tom Brady marched down the field as soon as the Buccaneers got the ball on the opening kickoff. 9 plays, 66 yards later, Brady finds Mike Evans from 15 yards out. You probably had a better feeling when Aaron Rodgers, a couple of series later, finds MVS from 50 yards out. The game's tied 7-7. Great. The Packers not playing perfect football by a long shot, but hey, you know, they're right in there. It's a 7-7 game. And then the Buccaneers get a Leonard Fournette 20-yard touchdown run. 4 plays, 73 yards, and you're wondering what in the world's going on with Mike Pettine's defense today. Kevin King is not playing well. Didn't know if he was going to be active leading up to this game. And in hindsight, they probably should have pulled him early. But they didn't. But when Will Redmond got his hands on a Tom Brady pass late in the first half in the end zone, it was thrown right to him. Right to him! And I know the saying in football, well, that's why these guys don't play wide receiver. That's why they, at some point in their careers, switch them to defensive back. That's all well and good, but defensive backs still need to, when the ball is thrown right in their hands in championship games, you got to squeeze it. You may not be a wide receiver, but you're still a professional football player. You're still someone who gets paid an extraordinary amount of money to make plays like that on championship caliber teams. And Will Redmond didn't. That, to me, is one of the key plays that caused the Packers to lose this game. Because 2 plays later, in a man formation, which makes no sense at all, especially with 1 second left to play, well, I guess there were 8 seconds left to play when the play began, but you know how we joke about the prevent defense? The only thing the Packers needed to prevent was a touchdown. They couldn't let anybody get behind them in single-man coverage. And that's exactly what happened when Scotty Miller blew right past your cornerback, Kevin King, who was flat-footed, out of position, and didn't have any help from the safeties. It was a terrible play call. It was terrible execution. And it cost the Packers a chance at a trophy. Those 2 plays, Redmond not securing the football that was thrown right to him, and then 2 plays later, an inexcusable formation, an inexcusable execution. I mean, guys get... I don't like to ever say that one play gets a guy fired. And I like Mike Pettine a lot, and I think that he's taken on a lot of unnecessary heat for the way that his defense has performed. I mean, this was a top 10 defense in the NFL this past season, and a lot of that had to do with the fact that Mike Pettine was dialing up the right types of pressures and the right blitzes at the right times. So I always find it difficult to whack a guy for one poor play call. But my God, you wonder what was going through his head. You wonder, with 8 seconds left, what did you think the Buccaneers were going to do after Tom Brady had just taken a shot into the end zone two plays earlier? They weren't playing for a field goal. It was fourth down. There were 8 seconds left. What did you think he was going to do? Matt LaFleur was asked about that after the game.
Hey, Matt, on that final touchdown at the end of the half, was that man or cover three, and what happened there from what you saw?
Yeah, it was man coverage. Definitely not the right call for the situation. And you can't do stuff like that against a good football team and expect to win. So, I mean, really, when you look at it, there was 120 some odd plays, both on both sides of the ball, plus all the special teams. There was a lot of plays in that game that could have been made that could change the outcome of the game. But the ones that really hurt us the most were that play, and then to come out the start of the second half, had the fumble, and they score to make it 28-10. I mean, that really was a big difference in the football game. You just can't do that stuff. And I blame us as coaches, for putting our guys in that situation. That's inexcusable. That should not have happened. So we gotta take a look at it and do some self-reflection and try to figure out ways how that can't happen again.
But it still happened. And as Matt LaFleur went through, then the Packers get the ball to start the second half. They fumble, and Tampa Bay scores when they get the ball at the Green Bay 8-yard line. So that's right there a 14-point swing that you can't have happen in championship games. You can have that happen in the preseason. It's not good, but at least it doesn't count. You can't have it happen in the regular season, and you sure as hell can't have it happen in the playoffs. You can't have that. It's inexcusable. And when I say inexcusable, I mean that's what gets guys fired. That's what costs championships. That's what costs trophies. And it's what drives your fans crazy. Back to the game itself. The Packers score a touchdown in the third quarter, late in the third quarter. That was the Davante Adams 2-yard touchdown. And it was a 13-play, 68-yard drive that took 7.5 minutes off the clock. And the Packers could have been down by 3 if the 2-point conversion would have worked. But Aaron Rodgers passed right into the arms of Equanimee St. Brown. Okay, maybe it was tipped at the line of scrimmage by Ndamukong Suh. It wasn't tipped that badly, okay? Equanimee St. Brown, it hit him right in the chest. You gotta catch that one too, because that would have put the Packers down by 3 instead of down by 5. So the Packers then get the ball back late in the fourth quarter, and they march down the field, and they get inside the 10-yard line. So it's first and goal from the 8. And then 3 incomplete passes. The first to Allen Lazard, second and third to Davante Adams. So it's 4th and goal from the 8, I guess I should say. And there's just over 2 minutes left to play. You're down by 5. And for whatever reason, Matt LaFleur decides that he's going to kick a field goal and pull the Packers to within 5. So I'm doing the math, just like everybody else, not only in the state of Wisconsin, but everybody else in the world of football. You still have to get the ball back with 2 minutes left to play. Yes, you have all of your timeouts. Yes, you have the 2-minute warning, but you're expecting Tom Brady in a championship game to give the ball back to you with 2 minutes left to play. And then you're expecting your offense to march down the field and score a touchdown, because what good is a field goal going to do you? It's not. You had one chance, still one chance on fourth and goal. And yes, a lot had to go your way. You had to complete a pass into the end zone. One of your receivers had to catch it, which was a problem on Sunday. And you had to get the two-point conversion. But you still had the ball in the MVP's hands. And Aaron Rodgers was asked about the decision with just over 2 minutes left to play, fourth and goal from the eight, to kick a field goal to go down by five.
I understand the thinking above 2 minutes with all of our timeouts, but yeah, it wasn't my decision.
So that's Aaron Rodgers being diplomatic. You could tell how pissed off he was. You could tell that he wanted to go for it on fourth down. There's no reason to not go for it on fourth down. The logic that went through Matt LaFleur's head is flawed. Because again, just to run through it one more time, yeah, everything had to go right. You had to complete a pass or, you know, run it in. Aaron Rodgers probably could have run it in the play prior. That was an opportunity that, you know, you're going to run through, and Packers fans are going to run through their minds maybe forever. Who knows? So that was an opportunity. Everybody in my living room was screaming, run, run. And it didn't happen. So it's fourth and eight. So you need to get the ball into the end zone or the game is over for all intents and purposes. But again, tell me what good kicking a field goal does there. To go down, you're down eight. So now you're down by five. You've put yourself in no better position to win the football game than you would have with the ball in your own hands. And the guy on the other sideline, yeah, he's done this a couple of times. Tom Brady now headed to his 10th Super Bowl. But here's the answer, the question and the answer of why Matt LaFleur decided that that was the best course to go.
What went into the decision to kick the field goal there on fourth and eight, and do you regret that in hindsight?
Yeah, anytime it doesn't work out, you always regret it, right? But it was just the circumstances of having three shots and coming away with no yards. And knowing that you not only need the touchdown, but you'd need the 2 point. So the way I was looking at it was we essentially had four timeouts with the 2 minute warning. And, you know, we knew we needed to get a stop. And I thought we were going to have a stop there at the end, but, you know, we got called for the PI. And it didn't work out. So I think anytime something doesn't work out, do you regret it? Sure. But we're always going to be process driven here. And the way our defense was battling, the way our defense was playing, we felt like it was the right decision to do. And it just didn't work out.
So that's the logic that Matt LaFleur used at the end of the game. And it's flawed logic, obviously. I'm very confident because I believe Matt LaFleur to be a smart guy. If he had a chance to make that decision over again, I'm quite confident that he would make a different decision. If he would do that again, you wonder who the hell's running your football team. Just like Mike Pettine. I don't think Mike Pettine's a dumb guy. I think Mike Pettine's a pretty smart guy. He's a pretty sharp defensive coordinator. But you wonder what was running through his mind when he decided that he wasn't going to give Kevin King any help from the safety over the top with 8 seconds left to play in the first half. I mean, remember, Kevin King, who had already struggled earlier in the game, we didn't know if he was going to play leading up to the game. That's why Tremont Williams was not only signed to the practice squad, he was also made active in the hours leading up to the game. So it was coaching mistakes. It was player execution mistakes. Just mistakes all over the field that caused the Packers to lose a championship game and a chance at another Super Bowl. Again, you can't have that happen. These are the biggest stages in sports for a reason. You have to be of sound mind and body, right? Before you sign your will, you have to be, I am of sound mind and body. Well, the Packers were not. The coaching staff struggled on Sunday, and the players struggled as well. One guy that didn't necessarily struggle was Aaron Rodgers. And I have been covering Aaron Rodgers for a long time. If you just look at his numbers, He did just about everything that you could ask him to do. Even the interception that he threw, you could argue that there was pass interference on Alan Lazard. It was a bang-bang play. I don't look at that one as saying the referees screwed over the Packers or anything like that. And going to the call that was made on Kevin King late in the game on that pass interference, I mean, you can't pull the receiver's jersey 3 feet behind him and not expect to get called for that. You can argue that the pass wasn't going to be caught anyway, and that's one of the things that Aaron said after the game. He didn't think that it was a catchable ball, and the referees were letting these guys, the officials were letting these guys play, and they let them get away with a lot of stuff, including on the one interception that Rodgers threw. And Aaron was just pissed off after the game, and I understand. I get that. But all I would say is, catchable ball or not, let him play or not, you can't yank a receiver's jersey and expect to not get called for it. You can't give that visual of pulling a guy 3 feet behind him by his shirt with the ball in the air and not think you're going to get flagged. Sorry. There are other things about that play you can argue. There are other plays in that game that you can say that the referee's got this wrong or that wrong or the other thing wrong. To expect to not get flagged for that, I think, is unreasonable. Just calling it like I'm just calling balls and strikes there, honestly. That's the, you know, your emotion says that it was a bad call. I don't agree with it. And why did they call it there? And they even said that on the television broadcast. Troy Aikman brought that up, and it's a fair point. You let him play all day long, and then you're going to call that. Well, again, when you yank a guy's jersey, I don't even know if it was a jersey or the shirt underneath the jersey, but you give the officials that visual, you're going to get flagged. I mean, you just are. Whether it's right or wrong, you're going to get flagged. But Aaron Rodgers, 33 of 48, 346 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 questionable interception. Again, it might have been because of pass interference. Yeah, he did everything that he could. I'm going to play you right now the opening comments from Matt LaFleur, and then we're going to come back, and then I'm going to play Aaron Rodgers' full news conference and then butt that up with Matt LaFleur's full news conference, just so you can listen to them all and digest them perhaps on your drive home from work today. Maybe if you don't want to listen to them, they're at the end. So I'll leave that up to you. But this is Aaron Rodgers' opening statement, and then we're going to play his full news conference and then Matt LaFleur's full news conference, and then we'll close up shop for this Monday and hope for better days afterwards. But this is first what Aaron Rodgers was asked about, just in the heat of the moment. How you doing right now?
Yeah, Bill, I'm just pretty gutted. You know, it's a long season. You put so much into it to get to this point. And then, you know, the way, you know, we had our chances. So, you know, I'm not different position in the last couple of these where we got blown out and didn't really have a chance. You know, they went up 3 scores. We battled back with a couple scores. Defense came up with some big turnovers. And, yeah, we had a lot of chances. So, but, yeah, overall, just pretty gutted.
I know it's been a struggle to get to the stage, and you had the home game, everything that you wanted. Can you possibly express what you're feeling right now?
Yeah, Bill, I'm just pretty gutted. You know, it's a long season. You put so much into it to get to this point. And then, you know, the way, you know, we had our chances. So, you know, I'm not different position in the last couple of these where we got blown out and didn't really have a chance. You know, they went up 3 scores. We battled back with a couple scores. Defense came up with some big turnovers, and yeah, we had a lot of chances. So, but yeah, overall, just pretty gutted.
Brian Wood.
Aaron, I know you weren't on the field for it, but you saw how the game was being officiated and played all game. Just curious if you've seen the DPI on Kevin and if you had any thoughts on that.
I think it was a bad call. I think there were a few opportunities, you know, for some plays down the field for us that weren't called. Just surprised that call in that situation. was made. You know, we get the ball back with probably 1:35 and a timeout with a chance to win the game, go to the Super Bowl. Didn't look like it was even catchable. So, yeah, there's a bad call.
Aaron, you know, the two series after the Jair picks, can you just talk about those three dropbacks in a row and a couple of sacks?
Yeah, you know, we had some chances, obviously. Like I said, you know, we had the ball there with all the momentum and just kind of needed one first down. I think they get going. We just didn't get it, which is disappointing.
Steve McGargy.
Oh, it's been so good in goal-to-go situations all season. We had a couple where he had to sell for field goals this time. So what was the difference tonight? Was it just Tampa Bay's defense being so good or the lack of execution, or what was the difference this game?
Yeah, they're a really good defense. I mean, I think that's where some of the credit has to go. But we had some chances. You know, we had some opportunities. We had a couple mental errors on some of those plays, which hurts. But we had some chances, too. You know, I felt good about the plays that were called and the opportunities. We just didn't execute.
Marty Hendricks.
Aaron, in the first half, you closed within 14-10 on that field goal. Can you talk about that series when you settled for the field goal there in the first half?
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it. You know, we had mental error, and you know, I'm not sure. I got to look at the film on whether or not that ball was catchable to Tay, but we had some opportunities. You know, obviously, we've been so good in the red zone all season. This was a game where we needed seven. Didn't come up with it a couple times.
Tom Silverstein.
Hey, Aaron, on the last series, so on the third down play, you got out of the pocket. Going back and looking on the iPad or whatever, could you see that you might have been able to run it in, or do you think that guy gets you from behind? And then also, just to follow up, did you have a play in mind for fourth down?
You know, I feel great about the third down call. We actually ran it earlier in the game, same play that Tay caught out of the end zone. And looking at it back, it looked like he ended up crossing face late and may have been kind of back across my body, an opportunity. I felt like I had a chance maybe to run it, but I felt like there was a guy kind of closing on me. Based on the call, you know, Maddie allowed me to call that third down play. If I had known we were going to kick it, if we didn't get it, you know, maybe something else would have been maybe gone with some sort of, you know, crossing routes maybe there instead. But I thought we, you know, maybe we're going to have four chances to go.
Rob Domofsky.
Aaron, I don't know how it exactly works in the heat of the moment, but is there any opportunity to try to convince Matt to go for it in that situation on fourth and eight, or is that not even possible?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's a tough one, Rob. I look over sideline, I see, you know, five big guys around the field. There's a lot of gymnastics that has to happen to get us, you know, to be able to go for it there. But
yeah,
and I don't know. That decision was made, and we moved on.
Gotcha. Thanks,
Jason Woldy.
Aaron, you always talk about the plays that are going to keep you up at night, even after games that you win. What are the ones today?
We can't hear him. Okay. We'll come back, Jason.
Okay.
Aaron Nagler.
Aaron, what did you think of the job MVS did tonight? I mean, that's a guy who's been much maligned all year.
You can't hear him either. Okay.
Bill Huber.
Hey, Aaron, going back to that last series, you had the first and goal from the eight. Looks like some miscommunication there between you and Allen, maybe.
Yeah, I thought he was going to maybe keep it a little skinnier. And he was kind of crossing face. I don't blame him for that. You know, it would just would have been a reaction that he's, you know, maybe saw the defender kind of going outside of him and maybe a guy pushing through him. I thought he might keep it a little straighter up. But I don't fault him for that.
Pete Doherty.
Hey, Aaron, have you ever had a loss that you know, basically didn't get over or maybe even were a little bit haunted by? And do you think this could be that kind of one with how everything was set up for you guys coming into this?
Yeah, Pete, I don't know about haunted. I mean, I don't really like That word doesn't really fit in my vocabulary, I don't think. This one definitely stings and is going to for a long time. Especially the way it played out and the chances that we had and the opportunities to seize that game at various points. This, yeah, definitely hurts, but I don't believe in games haunting me. So this won't haunt me. It's just going to hurt for a while.
Try Jason Wilde again, Jason.
Aaron, can you hear me now?
Yes.
You always say that there are plays that are going to keep you up at night, even after wins. I don't know, maybe the free play where you probably saw Devontae open on the iPad later. What are the plays that maybe are going to bother you tonight for you personally?
Well, I didn't see Devontae on the iPad later. Probably the go route to Marquez that I threw just a little bit too far inside and a little too flat. That's definitely gonna hurt. You know, if I put that in the same spot I put the first one in, you know, maybe he scores, who knows, or at least it's a big one. So that one definitely bothers me. You know, just I think the whole sequence there and the 8-yard line, the last three plays, just I'm not sure what I could have done first down, but, you know, second and third down, you know, maybe moving up in the pocket, be able to get that one on Tay's body, and third down, I don't know. I have to look at the film, but that last series definitely is frustrating.
Aaron Nagler.
Aaron, you got me.
Yeah.
What did you think of the job MVS did tonight? That's a guy who's been much maligned all year long. You went to him for the big kind of get you going touchdown there, the 50-yarder. He came up big on a number of throws for you tonight. What did you think of the job he did?
Yeah, man, I'm just really proud of him. He's had such an interesting year. I think it's been a good year of growth for him as a person. And that's what I'm most excited about for him as a friend. I told him before the game I was going to need some plays. You know, I was going to need at least two big ones. And he made many, you know, many, many plays for us. So I'm gutted for Big Dog, and obviously I'm hurting for myself, Mason, some of the older guys, Tremont coming back. But it hurts for those young guys too, who grew so much this year and added so much to our team. And, you know, him and Allen and Bobby and Jamal. Yeah, just the uncertainty of it all is so difficult, the abruptness, you know, so many futures, a little gray right now. So it's, you know, it's definitely sudden.
We'll do two more. Steven Watson.
Aaron, understanding that that roster might look a lot different for next year, what did this particular team mean to you at this point in your career?
Yeah, they're all special for sure. I think this one, as much as any of them, I just found some really special friendships with, you know, Mercedes and Devontae. Especially Tim and I have become really close over the years. Jamal, I love Jamal. Aaron Jones. There's a lot of guys' futures that are, you know, uncertain, you know, myself included. That's what's sad about it most. Getting this far, obviously there's going to be an end to it at some point, whether we make it past this one or not, but just the uncertainty is tough, and the finality of it all.
Last one, Bill Huber.
Yeah, it's kind of along those lines. This would probably be a better question for next week, but we might not get you next week. So how do you go on from here? I mean, you kind of hit on some of the realities a minute ago. So how do you go on from here? How do you take the next step?
Yeah, Bill, that's a good question. I don't know. I really don't. There's a lot of unknowns going into this offseason now. And I'm going to have to take some time away for sure and clear my head and just kind of see what's going on with everything. But it's pretty tough right now, especially thinking about the guys that may or may not be here next year. there's always change. That's the only constant in this business. It's really tough to get to this point. Really, really tough. Especially with it only being one bye week in the playoffs. It's a grind just to get to this point. And that makes the finality of it all kind of hit you like a ton of bricks. That's why it's a gutting feeling in your stomach. But I do appreciate you all and the job that you've done this year. I appreciate our interactions. Appreciate the opportunity to share every week and always be thankful for this season.
As I said earlier in the show, I've been around Aaron Rodgers literally since the day he was drafted by the Packers. And I've never seen him as despondent after a game than he was after last night's NFC Championship game. I'm going to right now play the bulk of Matt LaFleur's news conference. We've heard a couple of comments from him earlier in the show about a couple of very specific things. I'm just at this point, I'm just going to play the rest of his news conference, and then we're going to just transition into Aaron's news conference, and then we're going to sign off for this Monday and hope for better days again for the Packers, who I don't think are a bad team. I think that they're a team that's still pretty close. And you add a couple of pieces here, you add a couple of pieces there. Time heals all wounds. This is a wound that time is going to have to heal. Maybe there are some personnel changes that are in the offing. I don't think that Aaron Jones is coming back next season. I don't think that Kevin King is coming back next season. And I never would have thought that this was going to be the case, but I'm not sure that Mike Pettine is coming back next season. I am pretty confident that Aaron Rodgers is going to be back. I hope that he feels like there is still something to be done in Green Bay. There's some unfinished business with the Packers, and that they've come so close the last couple of years that if they can just clean up a couple of things, especially what they do when they have these deep playoff runs, when they get to the postseason, when they get to the NFC Championship game, they can just do this thing differently or that thing differently and get them over the top. But again, here's Coach Matt LaFleur and then some closing comments before we close up shop for this Monday here on the Doug Russell Podcast.
Hey, Matt, Aaron just finished up with us, and I mean, he sounded like a guy who had no idea whether he'll even be back here next year. Do you think you're going to get another chance with him to do this, and what's the future hold?
I sure as hell hope so. I mean, guys, the MVP of this league, he is – the heart and soul of our football team. So hell yeah, he better be back here. He's our leader, and you know, just so appreciative of him buying into what we're trying to get done around here and leading that group. You know, his voice carries a lot of weight in that locker room, and just, you know, I feel for him to be in this situation. And for us not to get it done, I mean, it hurts.
We'll go to Jason Woolley next. Jason.
Matt, you guys were so good. Red zone, gold zone, whatever you call it. You guys were awesome all year, and you probably lost today because you weren't good enough there. What was the difference?
You know, I just talked to Hackett about this right before we came in here, and I think a lot of times when we got down there, we did a really good job of running the football and having actions off of it. And then you look at it today, and I think we probably got a little too much drop back. And just, you know, they did a nice job. They came out with a little bit different plan than what we were anticipating, so you got to give them credit. But, you know, I put that on myself, just not calling the right plays, you know, the stuff that we did so well all season long and kind of got away from it. And really that second half, specifically the fourth quarter, just got out of our offense, and that's on me.
All right, we'll give Tom Silverstein a try. Tom.
Hey, Matt, can you hear me?
Got you, Tom.
Okay, thanks. So if you had the three plays down there and you weren't nuts about the fact you didn't get in, what would have changed if you had gotten back down there? What would have made you feel better about a chance to get back down there again?
I don't know, Tom. I don't know. I got confidence in our guys, and I got confidence in our staff that we'd make the necessary adjustments to have success. And, you know, but that's a moot point because we didn't get the ball back. And so who knows?
All right, we'll go to Bill Huber next. Bill.
Hey, Matt, on the third and goal at the end, Aaron said that you let him call the play. He said he might have called a different one if he would have known you guys were going to kick a field goal on fourth down. So is there a way to communicate that with him in that little time frame to say, hey, do what you want, but we're going to do X, Y, or Z on fourth down?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I called a play, and, you know, he was asking for another play, and, you know, I wish there was a two-way to come back because I was trying to figure out what exactly he was asking for. And I felt like there was something that, you know, he wanted. I totally trust him. I mean, how could you not? This guy has been magnificent all season long. And, you know, it didn't work out. So hindsight's 2020, and obviously we got to come up with a better way of communicating. If there's something in particular that he wants, then I can call it. But like I said, it just didn't work out, and we got to try to learn from it and move on.
Olivia Reiner's next. Olivia.
Hey, Matt, how surprised were you with the DPI call at the end of the game?
I was pretty surprised just based on how the game went. I mean, I felt like there was multiple plays throughout the course of the game that they were letting us play. Man, I haven't seen a replay, but from what I was told, there was a tug there, whether the ball was catchable or not. I mean, I think that always goes into it, but bottom line, the official made the call, and that's what it is. And we have to live with that. And there's no use about crying about it now or complaining about it now. What's done is done. All you got to do is you got to move on. And but they were letting both sides play all game. And you know, there's a lot of things in that game that got me very, very upset. Maybe they were right. I don't know. I got to go back and watch the tape.
All right, we'll go to Mark Daniels next. Mark.
Hey, Matt, you got me?
Got you, Mark.
Matt, what is it about their pressure that just made it very difficult for you now two games?
Yeah, they do a nice job of disguising and holding stuff to the snap. And it's a good scheme, and they got good players, and you got to give them credit. Certainly, we didn't do enough offensively to counteract that. And, you know, we got to take a good, long, hard look at what we're doing offensively for that, because that is a team that I'm sure that down the road, if we're in a situation like this again, that we could potentially have to play. And I'm sure other people are going to look at that tape as well and try to figure out how to stop our offense, because our offense has been pretty dynamic all year long. And I felt like we had plenty of opportunities tonight to take advantage of and get the job done. And we didn't do it, and that falls on me. And, you know, that's a tough pill to swallow when you're responsible for everybody in this organization to make sure that you're on your A game. And I don't feel like I was tonight. And I just pretty disappointed that let a lot of people down.
Go to Aaron Nagler next. Aaron.
Coach, you were talking earlier about how much trust you have in your quarterback. Did you have a little too much trust in him after those Jair interceptions? You have back-to-back picks, picking off Tom Brady in the NFC Championship game, and you throw six passes, and then you're punting twice.
Yeah, Aaron, that's a fair question. And, you know, yeah, I don't think it has anything to do with the trust in our quarterback. I totally trust him. There's an echo. I think it has, you know, you just got to go back and be critical of yourself in terms of what you're calling. And obviously, anytime it doesn't work out, you know, it's pretty disappointing. So, you know, all I know is this. What's done is done. We got to go back. We look at it and we got to learn from it. And I'm talking about myself and be critical on myself. And, you know, it's just really disappointing right now.
All right. We got time for a couple more. We'll go to Ryan Wood next. Ryan.
In terms of momentum changes in the game, the end of the half might be forgotten in this one, but how much did that kind of put things, it just changed the feel going to the locker room to give up the touchdown there?
That was a tough pill to swallow. We regrouped at halftime and we talked about it and said, hey man, like, we can't let this destroy the second half too. And then for us to come out in the second half and, you know, have that play on third down and where we get a fumble and it's just, they go down and score on the first play. I mean, that's about as bad of a sequence as you could possibly have had in a critical game, obviously. I think a lot of teams may have folded the tents in that situation, but our guys, they were resilient, and I'm very, very proud of their effort, the way they battled back and into that game and gave us an opportunity to win the football game. So I think a lot of other teams may have folded in that situation. Just can't say enough about the resiliency of our guys in that locker room.
All right, last question. We'll go to Tom Silverstein. Tom?
Hey, Matt, just one question about the 2nd and 8 play on the goal line there. It was Devontae Adams, and then he was just out of the back of the end zone. Where does that play, you know, in the way you draw it up, where does it usually go or where should it go?
Well, it's all dependent on the coverage. And, you know, it didn't work out, Tom. So I'll go back and look at it and probably have a better answer for you tomorrow. But, you know, just – I gotta watch the tape.
It's going to be an interesting offseason. Most offseasons are. I don't think this team, as I said earlier in the show, I don't think they're that far off. They just need to execute better when it comes to their deep playoff runs, and they can't choke. And what happened on Sunday at Lambeau Field, give credit to the Buccaneers because they took advantage of the Packers' mistakes, but the Buccaneers didn't play their best game. We saw them play their best game. Their best game was back on October 18th against Green Bay. On Sunday at Lambeau in the NFC Championship game, Tom Brady threw interceptions in 3 straight possessions. You don't expect that from who many consider, myself included, the greatest quarterback of all time. But he's going to his 10th Super Bowl, and that has to be recognized. But you don't give guys like that chances. When you have the opportunity to finish them off, you finish them off. When you have the opportunity in front of you to make smart decisions in the coaching booth and on the field, you have to do that. Mental mistakes. You know, I think we've all had the coach when we were in high school, or no matter what level of sport you played in, you can forgive the physical mistakes because physical mistakes are going to happen. That's part of sports. But it's those mental mistakes. That's what separates the also-rans from the champions. Tom Brady doesn't make mental mistakes. At the age of 43, he's going to make some physical mistakes. And he's got a tall task ahead of him when he goes up against the Kansas City Chiefs. But Tom Brady very, very rarely, almost never, makes mental mistakes. And that's the difference, again, between a guy who's gone to 10 Super Bowls and a guy who's gone to 1. And a team that in the last 30 years with back-to-back generational talent Hall of Fame quarterbacks, they've been to 3 Super Bowls. One wasted opportunity after another. And how many more can Packers fans expect? Because I've got news for you. The Packers caught a huge break when Aaron Rodgers not only fell to them back in 2005, but that he developed into a Hall of Fame caliber player. You can't expect to follow up one Hall of Famer, Brett Favre, with another Aaron Rodgers and have 30 years almost of sustained Hall of Fame quarterback play. Doesn't happen. You can't expect that. So by the laws of averages, you sure as hell can't expect it to happen three times in a row, whether that's Jordan Love or anybody else. Aaron Rodgers had an MVP season. He's going to be a three-time most valuable player. But time is not on his side. Time's not on Tom Brady's side. I mean, he shouldn't be doing what he's doing at the age of 43. I think Drew Brees found that out, and then he's going to retire. I'm absolutely certain of it. I don't think Ben Roethlisberger is coming back next season. We've already seen that Philip Rivers has exited stage left. Let's see, 5 years from now, so that'll be the class of what, 2026 in Canton? That's going to be a hell of a class. So Roethlisberger is going to go in. Philip Rivers is going to go in. Maybe Tom Brady goes in. I think he's going to come back next season. He doesn't have, I don't think he's slowed down a hell of a lot. My point being, Hall of Fame quarterbacks don't grow on trees. While you have an MVP Hall of Fame quarterback who, yes, is going to be 38 next December, or this coming December, ride it out, man. Try to get the best, not only out of him, but out of everyone else that's in the organization, both on the field and off. And that means coaches, and that means making good decisions, because the Packers did not make those good decisions on Sunday. All right, that'll do it for this edition of the Doug Russell Podcast. I hope that, all things considered, you have a good Monday. Have a good week. We'll talk to you in a couple of days right here on the show. Try to have a good Monday, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.